We're doing our class in Jewish history. We're up to the year 3254. And we are towards the end of the period of the Babylonian exile. Let's quickly recap. It's a new semester. So what's happened? We have creation, year 01, yes. And then 10 generations from Adam to Noah. You have the flood. 10 generations from Noah to Avram Avinu, to Abraham. Avram Avinu is born in the year 1948 from creation. And Avram is told when he is 70 years old that his descendants will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. And from the count, the 400 years starts from the time he is 100 years old when his son Yitzhak is born. So that's the year 2048. 400 years later, in the year 2448, we leave Egypt. 40 years in the desert, 2488, we enter the land of Israel. And then we have the period of Yehoshua, the period of the judges, the period of the kings. And after we run through our first king, Shaul, and then David takes the dynasty from Shaul, as ordained by Hashem, and David has a son, Shlomo. Shlomo is not faithful to Hashem the way he should be, and so his son Rechavam finds a rebellion on his hands. Yeravam ben Nevat takes away 10 tribes. The northern 10 tribes cease from the kingdom of King Rechavam, the son of Shlomo. And we have two kingdoms in Israel. The northern 10 tribes, after 2.5, 3 centuries, are destroyed and exiled by the Assyrian king. The Assyrian Empire has their capital, Nineveh, and that's what we will learn, Be'ezrat Hashem, in a month, the story of Jonah, who was sent to prophesy to the Assyrian Empire just before they come to destroy Israel. They are given a warning, you guys are about to lose it. And they repent, and their tshuva lasts for 40 years, until the Navi Nahum will come and tell them, you're done for, you guys went back to your old ways. But during those 40 years, they afflict the greatest Holocaust in Jewish history. They destroy the northern 10 tribes. They kill millions of Jews and exile them. And then we have another century plus where Judea is spared. And you have the king from the Davidic dynasty. And then the temple is destroyed. The Jews are exiled into Babylon. And we have 70 years in exile. Those 70 years are in question because the Persian history books indicate that they were over 200 years. Our Talmud says it was 70 years, and there's a machloket, there's a disagreement among the commentaries on Talmud whether the Talmud should be taken literally. Most people take it literally, and the assumption is, the way the Talmud writes, that the Persian history books gave multiple names to the same king, as did the book of Daniel, and the book of Zechariah, as did the book of Ezra and the book of Chronicles, Divrei Hayamim, or more accurately, Ezra. Just a second. So we find one king who is called Artaxasta, Daryavish, Achashverosh, Koresh. Four names. And if you read that in a history book, you can easily think there were four kings. The Talmud says the kings had multiple names. His Excellency, His Majesty, the President, they had multiple names. Each one denoted a different aspect of his leadership. At any rate, towards the end of that period, that's where we're holding now, in the year 3254, that's where we're holding in Jewish history. We have the great prophet Habakkuk, who we will discuss in a minute, but yes.
Maybe that's, Assyrians can have the opinion, because a lot of Jews stayed in Babylon, and a small group went to Israel, so maybe they look at the majority of state or what? Maybe
okay.
They see it differently. If it's the majority state in Babylon, they don't see that they went back.
I hear you. Okay.
Maybe.
I hear. Who is Habakkuk? So Habakkuk is the son of the Shunammite. If you recall, there was a woman who had a child. And she was the host for the Navi Elisha. She made him a special attic. And then one day her son was outside. One day Elisha asked her, what would you like? You made me all this wonderful place to live. What can I give you? And the woman said, I need nothing. And then Gehazi says, but she has no kids. And so Elisha blesses her. She should have a child. She has a boy. And then that boy is out harvesting the field with his father, and he says, Roshi, Roshi, my head, my head. and he falls to the bed and he dies, and then Elisha brings him back. That child is Habakkuk. Habakkuk is going to be the prophet who draws a circle in the sand and says, "Al mishmarti emoda, I am standing watch over my people." Habakkuk says, "God, I'm not leaving this circle till you answer me. How could it be that the Jews are suffering at the hands of people who are evil? How do you let righteous people suffer?" So the same question that Moshe Rabbeinu asked, the same question that Eov asked, Habakkuk comes back and asks, but in a much more forceful way. And that's why Habakkuk ultimately has three chapters. Not only the Christians divide Habakkuk into three chapters, our tradition is that Habakkuk is also divided into three sections. We say Habakkuk began with his claim, and then Hashem gives him his answer, and then Habakkuk apologizes because his punishment is he will never again get prophecy because he spoke so forcefully. But Habakkuk is recorded. His prophecy is there. So Habakkuk is where we're up to in Jewish history. We'll discuss that in a minute. Yes?
Is there a connection between Yon and Habakkuk in the sense that they both, I'm saying, what is the relevance?
Like food for thought. So the Seder HaDorot tells us that Habakkuk lived at, he prophesied at the end of the Babylonian exile. When you read Habakkuk, it's unclear, as is the case with many of the short prophecies called Trei Asar, the 12 short prophecies, to the point where one of the 12 short prophets is called Yoel. Who was Yoel? Oh, the son of Pituel. Who was Pituel? We don't know. One opinion says it was Shmuel. Meaning one opinion throws Yoel back to pre-Davidic times. Or Davidic times, right? He was the son of Shmuel, the prophet who anointed David. So when you read the 12 short prophets, one of the challenges is, when did they live? So Habakkuk, we are told now, even though he lived in the time of Elisha, because he was the child that Elisha brought back, his prophecy was actually at the end of the 70 years in exile, meaning he overlapped with Daniel. And his prophecy was actually when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, that's when Habakkuk came up and said, "God, how could you do this? How are you letting the wicked overtake the righteous?" Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. Daniel is pious. Daniel is kind. Daniel is faithful to the Persian Mede Empire. And what does he get for it? He gets thrown into a lion's den. And that's when Habakkuk stands up and says his claim. How could you let the wicked be in control of the righteous? He had his tradition from Nahum. Remember we said Nahum was the continuation of Yonah. Jonah prophesied to Nineveh they would be overturned. And then the people of Nineveh repented. And then the end of the book of Jonah, Nineveh is not overturned. 40 years later, along comes the prophet Nahum and says, "You guys went back to your old ways, you will be overturned." And Nahum gave his tradition to Habakkuk. So Habakkuk is the third ring in that chain. The first is Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean? In this chain of the 12 prophets, I'm saying you have Nahum, who gave... Oh, you have Yonah, right, who prophesied earlier, and then Nahum, and then Habakkuk. Now, Josephus also writes that Habakkuk and Daniel were friends, that they overlapped. That Habakkuk was in the days of Daniel. In the city of Yahakuk, I don't know where that is, that's where Habakkuk is buried. And right next to his burial, right next to his grave, is the burial of Rabbeinu Bechaye and his students. So now we're up to, we finished the story of Habakkuk, and we're moving forward to the year 3,266.